Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more. The Ford F-150 truck helps you get the job done in the smartest way possible. New features like the available Pro Access tailgate improves access to bed and cargo, including when towing a trailer, so it's easier to load in tight spaces. Tough this smart can only be called F-150. Find your local Ford dealer at Ford.com. Pro Access tailgate available starting spring 2024. See owner's manual for important operating instructions.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to the Busted Open Podcast, the Masters Class. You get this exclusively right here on the Busted Open Podcast. Don't forget, you can listen to Busted Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern Time on Sirius XM Fight Nation, Channel 156. But the Masters Class, you can only get by subscribing to the Busted Open Podcast. Also, don't forget, you can still pick up Busted Open merchandise on podswag.com/BustedOpen. Again, it's podswag.com/BustedOpen for all t-shirts, hats, hoodies, glassware, everything you need, all merchandise for Busted Open. But let's get in to the Masters Class with our masters of the ring, and that is Bully, Tommy, Mark Henry, and Dave LaGreca. What's up, guys? How are you?
Hello.
What a do.
Hi.
How are you, Bully?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
It's going to be a great debate today. A great debate. Masters Class, great debate. Master debaters, absolutely.
Wow, here you go. Hello.
You were going there.
Hello,
I
Bully.
Did too.
I knew it.
Great debate.
Well, speaking of debates, what we're going to get into is we're going to talk about our favorite cash-in moments. That's Money in the Bank cash-in moments, because this weekend is Money in the Bank. So we're going to get into those moments again with our masters, Bully Ray, Tommy Dreamer, and Mark Henry. So, Mark, let's start with you. What do you have as the best cash-in moment for Money in the Bank?
Well, Dave, I would have to say that it was the one that was actually cashed in on me when I was champion.
What?
And yeah. I mean, it comes full circle, Dave. It comes full circle because there was a time when the WWE was scouting and they said, hey, we want some bigger guys. So everybody you bring in, you know, bring in some big guys. Okay. I go to Canada and I'm working and I see a ROH show and there's this young guy with maroon shoe boots and shorts. And I was just amazed at his work. And I was like, man, we got to bring that guy in. I called Jimmy Corderas, and Jimmy probably don't even know he's a part of this story. And I said, hey, who's the guy that was on the show? You remember his name? And he said, Brian Danielson. Okay, we're watching in the locker room. I reach out, get his information, call him, say, hey, man, I want you to come to this camp. He comes to the camp. Johnny Laurinaitis, Mark, you said this guy was 6 feet, 200 pounds. I was like, yeah, I mean, he looked bigger on TV.
He looked bigger with his lifts in.
He looked bigger on TV, and I got bitched at about it. And I said, but you got to watch him work. They watched him work. They hired him. Fast forward. I'm kicking ass, taking names, walking around holding the title over my head. And the Big Show, he's supposed to be like my brother. And he, of course, beat me within an inch of my life. And then guess what?
What?
The guy that I made the calls for cashed in the money in the bank and took my title.
It's called a receipt.
Yeah. Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch. Exactly, Tommy. At least you're on my side.
Oh, but I'm on your side.
It was always good to be connected to somebody that you helped, and they paid off. It paid off. And even though I was a casualty, I'll take it. That's my favorite one.
I love it.
Good one. Very personal.
Yeah, very personal. And because he ended that Hall of Pain run for Mark Henry when he became world champion. And that was a great moment in your career and really ignited Brian Danielson, Daniel Bryan's career as well. That's the company having faith in him, holding on to a world championship, and his and Mark, his career skyrocketed from there.
And that's what the rub is supposed to do. You're supposed to be able to elevate the people that you work with. And we had some really, really good matches. Like we had a couple of cage match. We had a hardcore match and a series of, just straight up brawls. And he was able to hold his own with me and excel. So, yeah, he's an unbelievable Hall of Fame talent.
There's no doubt about it. My cash-in moment, I'm not going to necessarily say ignited a career, because unfortunately, it might be the highlight of this wrestler's career. And for me, it was Dolph Ziggler cashing in the Money in the Bank briefcase against Alberto Del Rio. It was the night after WrestleMania. And if you remember, it was right after WrestleMania 29, and it was at the Meadowlands in New Jersey. And that was like the first Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania where you started getting that kooky type of fan reactions the night after WrestleMania. You never really got it before, but it definitely happened moving forward after it. And everything and everyone seemed to just cheer for the heels and boo the baby faces. And that night was really the start and definitely an example of what I'm talking about. And that is Dolph Ziggler. And if you remember, he had Big E Langston with him in his corner and AJ Lee in his corner. He came down with the Money in the Bank briefcase, cast in against Alberto Del Rio, when Alberto Del Rio was as big of a baby face than anybody at that time. And the crowd completely cheered Dolph Ziggler. You know what? I was in the building. I don't think I ever heard a crowd in an arena be as loud as they were when Dolph Ziggler pinned Alberto Del Rio to become new world heavyweight champion. And I really thought that was going to be the start of a career that was going to be multiple time world champion. But unfortunately, it was probably the highlight of his career. He got injured soon after that, and then just never was able to get to that point again in his career. Obviously, Dolph Ziggler is one of the greats, but that for sure was his greatest moment of his WWE career.
Hell of a pop. Hell of a reaction.
Oh, my God. Very memorable. Holy. Yes.
Remember his face and his reactions and how when he finally did it, it was just, it was, and you're blessed to be there live, you said, but it was just, that's what the Money in the Bank thing is supposed to do. It's supposed to create moments. And as Mark said, it's also supposed to elevate the who's going to be the next guy. If you think about, we spent a lot of time breaking down different things. When the guy doesn't cash in that Money in the Bank, meaning he cashed in and wins, they're also falling out of flavor with the WWE. But when they cash it in, or all the teases, I think you remember when Brock Lesnar had it and the whole you know, dancing with it. We got to see a different personality with him. So it's just, it's very, very key of who's going to be the next person within the WWE. And I mean, the match itself is always exciting, but then the afterwards of when is this person going to cash it in is something to acknowledge. Since I'm speaking, I will talk about my personal favorite, and it would be a different take to it because I always don't like when the babyface sneaks up on the heel. Even if the heel does these dastardly things, I always feel you're a bigger babyface if you straight up want to fight somebody for the title. And Rob Van Dam cashing in his Money at the Bank for ECW One Night Stand 06 was a really good match. And it was also John Cena coming into the most violent atmosphere he's ever been a part of. So much that behind the scenes, because I was behind the scenes, they feared for John's safety. And there were so many moving parts to this because now coming off the heels of the first One Night Stand, which now I know isn't going to be like the first one, and this is the second one. So how do we put a nice button on it because we're trying to move forward with a whole new brand? Anyway, you know, they did the thing with two ref bumps, but John Cena, if you think about it too, where there's moments in history, if John Cena wins, we riot. And that's a famous sign now or a famous saying in the industry. Again, I rewatched this match yesterday once we were talking about this topic, and it was just such a different environment for John to be in. And when Rob came down and hit that, you know, frog splash after Edge interfered, it was a moment, man. And it also solidified ECW as, oh my gosh, this is going to be a real brand. And a personal story for this, when they had such fear for for John Cena's safety, they were like, we got to get him out of there just in case. And then they're like, send Dreamer down because the fans there love Dreamer. So I run down, this is off camera, nobody sees it. And John, you know, and I think John was worried too, because, you know, that and Bully could attest, it's a tight mosh pit atmosphere. And it wasn't the, like how the WWE normally has their security as well as the design of the venue. So I run down and I grab John and I'm like, I got you. And then I go and I go, if anything happens, this will protect you. And I go into my pocket and I hand him something. And I handed him, because I also worked in the office at the time, and I was allowed to do like indie shows and seminars. And I got to see his father perform as a manager, John Cena Sr., who then later we've seen on television. And his father has this gimmick where he has his own Fabo bucks, which is money printed with his face. And in this most serious moment of like, I'm protecting a manager. And I was like, this will protect you. And I handed John, put it in his hand like it's a weapon. And it was his father's Fabo bucks. And he just laughed as we ran to the back the whole time. So that was a nice, fun.
I love ribs like that. Exactly. I love inside ribs.
Because I knew they weren't going to do anything to John. But I had him, but when he saw it, he was just literally laughing, running up the aisle with me.
Oh, man. That is a fun story.
You know, Tommy, you mentioned something before that story about how, listen, cashing in the Money in the Bank could catapult you to stardom, but if you cash in and lose, it could hurt your career as well. I think the biggest example of that would be Damian Sandow. Damian Sandow cashed in on Monday Night Raw. It was a great match with John Cena, and his character was about as over as anybody's character at that time. But after that match, which I thought was still going to catapult his career, it was just a steep decline after that. The next pay-per-view at TLC, he challenged Big E for the Intercontinental Championship and lost. And then at the Royal Rumble, he wound up being the first wrestler eliminated. And I think right after that, they changed his trunks from the pink trunks to just plain black trunks with white boots. Like, it was right after that match, the decline of a great character. Go ahead, Bull.
Yeah.
Let that be a lesson to you. Never get yourself over. Never get yourself over.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go.
If you also think about, that's more from behind the scenes, because Mr. Kennedy had it, and the only one really to survive after cashing in the money in the bank and not winning it, but he had to do a complete change, is Otis. Because I think think of how over he was. If he didn't change up, I don't think he'd still be employed. Because they didn't, for some rut, see it in him. Like, they didn't see it in Ken and Sandow.
You know what? Let's put a pin on that, because this is a hell of a topic for the next podcast. Character changes that kill the trajectory of a talent. And Sandow would be one. Otis would be one with the change. Like, there's a dozen guys. You change them and nothing. It just,
if Dolph Ziggler, they had him dye his hair. If you remember, he went from blonde hair to brown hair, Dolph Ziggler. People forget about that. And again, with the cash in, though, with Mr. Anderson and with Damian Sandow and with Otis, all three of those guys were huge at the time. Their characters were monster over. And then right after that, they all three of them had a huge decline after that.
I sure got mad when Otis, when they went a different direction with Otis. And I probably, you know, for a couple of weeks, I couldn't watch. I was so angry that every time I watched Raw, I got pissed off. And I just, you know, it's the same feeling, the sick feeling I get when people say, call Piper Niven Doudrop.
Dave gets pissed off every Monday.
Yeah, well, that's true. But Bully, you and I talked about that the two MVPs of the pandemic era were Sheamus and Otis.
Highly entertaining stuff from Otis. Yes. I agree with everybody. I mean, they could have done so much more with Otis. They should have had they could have did the dating game with Otis. They could have did the Bachelor with Otis. They could have had some of the girls in the back fighting over Otis and fighting with Mandy, because so many things. And they just, after the whole Mandy thing, it came to an end. And, you know, typical, you know, shave your hair, shave your beard, change your whole look. For what? It was working. And I don't think what he's doing now is working more than what he was doing then. He could have been a huge single star for them. But hey, what do I know? I'm sitting here talking to you guys.
And Dave, and for our listeners, and Mark and Bully will tell you, there is a decisive, when we say wrestling is real, when you win that and when you're the champion, how much more money do you guys make?
A lot.
Yeah.
And I'm talking, now you're the WWE champion, millions?
Yep.
So think about that. That's the realest part about all this, when decisions are made.
And when Dolph Ziggler won, when he cashed it in, like, did you see the emotion from him? Like, that was real shit, man.
Because the boys would say he's the man, but you have to have management think you're the man.
And Tommy, let's just clarify something. There's only one person on this screen who made millions before he won a World Heavyweight Championship.
Well, I mean, ECW was very profitable for me, Bubba.
And also, it's because I hit the lottery.
You too, Dave. Okay.
All right, Bully, what's yours?
Mine was really easy. The minute we started talking about this, I was like, Seth Rollins, WrestleMania 31, boom, done, see you, bye. He cashed in at WrestleMania and wins the big one at WrestleMania. Opens up WrestleMania against Randy Orton, does the J-O-B to probably the greatest RKO I've ever seen in my life. That RKO is just incredible. So open up the show with a banger of a match. You know, you start off with Rock and Roll All Night. Hey, how about being Rock and Roll All Night and Detroit Rock City all in the same, you know, all in the same night? So he opens up against Orton. He loses, comes back, cashes in on Roman and Brock, inserts himself right into the match. And then he gets the victory and becomes the WWE, world champion. A huge night for Seth Rollins. I could sit here and dissect it and talk about it, but we've all seen it. What an amazing cash in. It worked. And Seth has been on a great path ever since. I mean, he's been on a great path ever since he came out of the Shield, as has everyone. But what a career-defining moment for Seth at WrestleMania 31.
And I believe, Bully, that was the first time that the Money in the Bank briefcase was cashed in actually during a match.
During
a match. So, and it, you're right, it took Seth Rollins' career to the stratosphere. So, guys, awesome. Again, Money in the Bank. I hope you're enjoying it. This weekend, we'll obviously be breaking it down on Busted Open, our live show, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time on Sirius XM Fight Nation. But again, you can only get the Masters Class right here on the Busted Open podcast. So make sure you subscribe. Make sure you comment. We want to hear from you. And we also want to see you. So make sure to go to podswag.com/BustedOpen for all Busted Open merchandise. For Bully, for Tommy, for Mark and I, thank you so much for listening. And we'll talk to you next week right here on Busted Open's The Masters Class. Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. The executive producer is Paul Early. The digital producer is Gabby Laspisa. Andre Viola is the associate producer. Marissa Rivas is the director of Sports Podcast. Special thanks to Senior Vice President of Sports and Podcast, the legendary Steve Cohen.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.